Kachuk in first shot. He scores! He scores! He scores! Matthew Kachuk, a power play goal! It's 4-3 Panthers with 4.3 seconds to go in regulation time.
This is the Celsius Essential Energy Drink Stanley Cup Final Preview Show.
The face-off from center. They'll put the clock to 4.9. The puck is down. The puck rolls over the Panthers' line down to our right. The final seconds tick away. This one's over. The Florida Panthers are going to the Stanley Cup Final.
On the home of the Panthers, AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Presented by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Peach Vibe, Arctic Vibe, Fantasy Vibe. What am I talking about? Celsius, of course. And now the latest Vibe flavor is here. Ready for it? Oasis Vibe. It's a combination of prickly pear and lime. One of those things you just have to try, and it's out now. Go find it. South Florida is fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
For the faceoff from center, they'll put the clock to 4.9. The puck is down. The puck rolls over the Panthers' line down to our right. The final seconds tick away. This one's over. The Florida Panthers are going to the Stanley Cup Final. The Panthers are Eastern Conference champions. They sweep the series in four. A 4-3 win. Late game heroics from Matthew Kachuk, and the Panthers are going to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 1996. The Panthers are Eastern Conference champions. Take it all in, folks. The run continues, and the Panthers knock off another one of the National Hockey League's heavyweights, the Carolina Hurricanes. A 4-3 win.
Unbelievable. You can't hear it enough. As we are past Memorial Day, we're going to be in June in a few days, and the Florida Panthers are still playing hockey, and they know their opponent, the Vegas Golden Knights, out of the Western Conference. They won in six games against Dallas last night. So Panthers, Golden Knights, Saturday, game one of the Stanley Cup Final in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we are thrilled to have all the games right here on 560 WQAM. Kevin Rogers with you alongside the radio voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans, who you heard in those calls. And the Panthers, Doug, just keep going. Beat Boston in seven, beat Toronto in five, swept Carolina. And the run for their first ever Stanley Cup title continues.
Yeah, welcome in to everybody. Great to share this experience all the way through with you, Kevin, and with Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass, of course. But the Panthers and the Vegas Golden Knights get things going on Saturday. All the guesswork taken out of it, folks, as far as the times of the games are concerned. They're all going to be at 8 o'clock Eastern across the Stanley Cup Finals. So that's one thing that will be consistent throughout the series. Every game's going to be at 8 o'clock Eastern, and we will have them all for you on 560 WQAM and across the Panthers radio network. So we'll be along with you for all that. Billy Lindsay will have all the action from on site. Kevin will be with you in the studio. We'll have it all for you all the way through. But Kevin, the big thing I want to get to, and of course we're going to talk a little bit about the matchup. We've got Randy Muller stopping by next segment. We've got a lot coming up over the course of the 2 hours, and I know we're going to get to talking about that, previewing that here shortly. But the big thing I wanted to hit on is, because we haven't had a chance to talk to everybody really since the end of the game four back on Wednesday, the Panthers are in a little bit of a schedule lull right now, but it's some welcome rest. I think the biggest thing, Kevin, the Panthers, they won that first round series in overtime on the road. They clinched the second round series in overtime on the road. No doubt there was some great experience, and that made them a more battle-tested team, taking care of business in some tough road environments. They're going to start this next series on the road. But I think, Kevin, you'd agree with me here. It was awesome for the Panthers to clinch the Eastern Conference title, to punch their ticket to the Stanley Cup Final with a big win on home ice, to share it with the fans. And a big thanks goes out right off the top here to everybody who supported this team all season long, who's been there every step of the way throughout this playoff run. It's been a loud environment. It's been a great environment inside FLA Live Arena. And I thought that was one of the best things about Game 4. It's obviously a huge achievement. Panthers getting to the Stanley Cup Final for the second time in team history and the first time since 1996. But to be able to do it on home ice and share it with all of you out there, that meant a lot. So, Kevin, I think that was that's a great place to start here again, talking about how important that was to win that one on home ice in front of everybody.
And also, too, Doug, when you look at the three series clinchers, Matthew Tkachuk, well, actually, let's start in the Boston series. Carter Verhaeghe scores in overtime to win Game 7 in Boston. Game 5, Nick Cousins wins it in overtime in Toronto. And then Matthew Tkachuk, that game almost went to overtime. We almost had three walk-off wins in overtime to win series, and Matthew Tkachuk ruined it by scoring late in regulation. I mean, we could have gone to overtime again. But Matthew Tkachuk, just another outstanding performance. He had the two game-winning goals in the first two games in Raleigh, the four overtime marathon, the second game quickly into overtime, and then in Game 4. And you're right, Doug. I mean, even going back to 1996 when they beat Pittsburgh in Game 7, that was on the road. And a lot of people in South Florida are very excited about it, but they had to watch it on TV at the time or listen on the radio. But to have this, the excitement level, going for the sweep of a very good Carolina Hurricanes team, and some of the numbers, Doug, when you look at, what is that, since Game 2 of the Toronto series, every game has been decided by a goal. That's eight straight games decided by a goal for the Panthers. The overtime record, 6-0 so far in the playoffs. They've won now eight straight victories on the road. The numbers are just unbelievable for a team that had 92 points going into the postseason.
Yeah, this has been quite a run here, and for the Panthers, of course, getting it done on home ice there to close out that series, that was huge. And you mentioned the one goal wins, Kevin. I think it's number one. It speaks to the razor thin margins that there are in the Stanley Cup playoffs, how evenly matched all these teams are and how much talent there is spread across the entire league. But you've seen some people suggest, like, oh, you know, the games are going to overtime a lot. Can the Panthers keep winning the one goal games? And what I would say to that is, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Panthers played Boston, Toronto, and Carolina. These are all really good hockey teams. You shouldn't expect to have games that are lopsided in the Stanley Cup playoffs. If anything, what we've seen out of this Panthers team has gotten to be very comfortable in situations when a lot of other teams might be uncomfortable. For example, tight games, overtime games. How many times, going back to Game 7 against Boston, that was a prime example. The Panthers came out Game 7 overtime, the definition of crunch time in hockey. You can't get any more intense than Game 7 overtime. And the Panthers came out looking cool as a cucumber. Boston on the other side, they were tense as could be, and the building in Boston reflected how tense that Boston team was. The Panthers came out loose, comfortable, focused all at the same time, and they were able to get that win. And that's been this team's mantra throughout all these overtimes, Kevin. I think it starts from Sergei Bobrovsky and really reverberates throughout everybody. He's continuing to be on another planet as far as what he's been able to do lately. But you've got a whole group of guys. Nobody shies away from the moment. There's nobody out there playing tentative. Nobody who's afraid to make a mistake. Everybody wants the puck. Everybody knows that there's a chance that they could be the guy to get it done. And I think it reflects the way this team's played. They're confident. They're comfortable when the chips are down.
What about Sergei Bobrovsky? You just mentioned him. He comes into Game 4. I mean, obviously, we know he's the starting goalie of this team. But Alex Lyon did a tremendous job late in the season to jumpstart that six-game winning streak starting in Toronto. And then Bob eventually came back in the third period of Game 3 against the Bruins. And then he started Game 4. We were talking about, who would start that game? And Paul Maurice went back to Bob for the stretch run. It took him a little bit of time, but what Bob has done the last two-plus rounds, going back even to Game 7 against Boston, that this is the Bob that everyone expected when he came over from the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, he's been on, like I said, just another level since the start of the Toronto series. Remember, he had the whole Toronto series, he held the Leafs to two goals in each game. And the thing that sticks out to me was Sergei Bobrovsky. Not just the caliber of saves that he's making. It's not just the highlight reel saves, the game-changing saves. Saves when the game's on the line. You think back to the Brad Marchand breakaway in Game 5, waning seconds against Boston. We might not be having this conversation if that puck goes in the net. And then in the Game 1 against Carolina, there wouldn't have been a fourth overtime if Martin Natchez had scored on that breakaway in the third period. The saves he's making, but also the calmness with which he's making these saves. He's been so controlled and so in command of the position and of the goal crease. It's reverberating throughout the entire team, and every guy will say that. They've all issued so much praise to Sergei Bobrovsky for the job that he's done, and you can tell it's really increased the comfort level of the whole group. So Sergei Bobrovsky, he's right there, right there in the middle of all of this. And you could argue that going into this, and we're going to preview the matchup quite a bit because we do know it worked out, that we're doing this preview show tonight. We had it on the schedule, and we know who the opponent's going to be. It's going to be Vegas. But we're going to talk about this matchup even more. But Sergei Bobrovsky and Adin Hill, that could be what this series comes down to, because you've got two great experienced coaches who've been to the finals before. You've got two deep groups of forward lines. They're going to roll all the lines. You've got superstars on both sides. You've got dangerous power play units on both sides, deep groups of defense that are physical, that like to move the puck. On one hand, you've got Sergei Bobrovsky, the two-time Vezina winner, who's been outstanding. On the other side, you've got Adin Hill, who's a veteran guy that just needed an opportunity to be the guy who seized a starting role in round two after Vegas starter Laurent Brossoit, who wasn't even really the starter. He got hurt. Adin Hill came in, and he's done an outstanding job for them. Goaltending's what this series could come down to with how evenly matched these two teams are.
And also on the Vegas side, too, you have two old friends there. Jonathan Marchessault, 28 goals. Riley Smith, 26 goals in the regular season. Two guys that, obviously, the Panthers know very well. Jack Eichel, the former Buffalo Sabre. Sam Reinhart's old running mate, in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. He had 27 goals this year. So definitely a very deep team that Vegas is throwing out. Phil Kessel is there. Mark Stone, he had some injury issues. But there are so many guys on this team. Quickly, we'll talk about Vegas before we hit the break, Doug, that the Golden Knights, they lost that opener to Winnipeg in the first round, 1-4 straight. They went back and forth with Edmonton in the second round and Connor McDavid and Draisaitl. They eliminated the Oilers. And then Dallas, pretty much they took care of them. Got a little dicey for a few games, but then they shut them out in Game 6. But this Vegas team, though, yes, they've had a little bit of a merry-go-round with goalies this year. But as far as offensively, they have a lot of firepower.
Well, and Adin Hill had good numbers during the season when called upon. And again, this is a guy that everybody always said just needed an opportunity. He's not a 19-year-old rookie. He's a big guy. Former Panther Sean Burke is the goaltending instructor there in Vegas. Seems to have really been able to harness a lot of the strengths of Adin Hill's game. But he had really nice numbers on, Arizona and San Jose teams that didn't do a lot of winning when he was there. So he's been able to have a good track record in the time that he's been in the National Hockey League, played well for Vegas during the season. So again, with Adin Hill, he's done a great job from the time he was thrust into duty. You look at what the Panthers did on their route to the Cup Final, knocking off three 50-win teams from the regular season. In the case of Boston, a 65-win team. So the Panthers were able to shut down deep teams, teams with superstars, teams that played great defense. Vegas was able to do a lot of the same. Didn't give Dallas a whole lot. They shut down the Oilers, who, of course, taking 4 out of 7 from Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. Even though the Oilers, they're far from a perfect team, and we realize that throughout that series, that's no easy task to shut those guys down. And they made quick work of the Winnipeg Jets in the opening round 5-game series that they won. So these are two teams who have earned the right to represent their conferences in the Stanley Cup Final, and two teams that right now, these are the two teams playing the best. No doubt about it. This is going to be an entertaining series. Kevin, we got Randy Moeller coming up in a few moments. We'll hear from Carter Verhaeghe. I sat down and chatted with him one-on-one yesterday. We've got that coming up later on. NHL.com's Mike Zeisberger later on in the show. Kevin and I are going to break down the matchup even more. We've got some sound from Panthers media availabilities the last couple of days. Paul Maurice, Radko Gudas, Sam Bennett. So lots to get to. These couple hours are going to fly by, Kevin, as we preview the Stanley Cup Final. Certainly doesn't get old saying that, does it, Kevin? We're previewing the Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final.
Unbelievable time in South Florida. The Heat are going to the NBA Finals. The Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final. It's just unreal to have all this going on at once. You can hear all the games, both of them on 560 WQAM. So very excited about that. And we will talk to the Red Deer coming up. Randy Moeller, Panthers television analyst on Bally Sports. And we'll talk to Randy about this matchup and about the Panthers' run to the Stanley Cup Final. Kevin Rogers and Doug Plagans with you. You're listening to the Stanley Cup Final Preview Show right here on 560 WQAM.
Let's get back to the Celsius Essential Energy Drinks Florida Panthers Stanley Cup Final Preview Show on the home of the Panthers, AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Kachuk out at the right point covering. 15 seconds in regulation. Kachuk, Reinhardt near circle. Reinhardt in the circle. Shot, and it's fought off by Anderson. Barkov right circle. Down to the goal line. Kachuk in front of shot. He scores! He scores! He scores! Matthew Kachuk, a power play goal! It's 4-3 Panthers with 4.3 seconds to go in regulation time. The Panthers take a 4-3 lead in the waning seconds.
Our Stanley Cup Final Preview Show continues here on 560 WQAM. Kevin Rogers and Doug Plagans with you. Randy Moeller is going to join us in just a moment as the Panthers begin the Stanley Cup Final coming up Saturday night, Game 1 at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, 8 o'clock Eastern, Kevin. Every game starts at 8 Eastern throughout this Stanley Cup Final Series. On the radio network, Panthers preview, the network pregame at 7:30. For you listening right here on 560 WQAM, we'll have an additional half an hour pregame for each Cup Final game beginning at 7 o'clock before each game. So that's what you can put on your calendar as we gear up for the Stanley Cup Final. You want to make sure you have the best Panthers playoff merch as well. FLATeamshop.com. Get your Panthers playoff swag today. Hats, tees, hoodies, and more. Shop these exclusive items at FLATeamshop.com. And a reminder, folks, Saturday night, when the hunt continues, catch the Cats at the next watch party, June 3rd at FLA Live Arena, presented by Funky Buddha. Drink specials, giveaways, and more. The party starts at 6:30. Get your tickets now. You need tickets for that. FloridaPanthers.com for the Game 1 watch party at FLA Live Arena.
We bring on now the television analyst for the Florida Panthers. He has been with the team since day one. Randy Moeller joining us, the Red Deer. And Randy, you were there when the Panthers were in the first Stanley Cup Final, right?
Yes, I was. Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. I had just retired in January of 96, and I take full credit for my retirement, why the Panthers went to the Stanley Cup Finals the last time.
See? Because I retired. You know, it was all about that. It wasn't about the rat. It was about Randy Moeller retiring a few months before the season ended. Now let's fast forward to now, Randy, and I want your opinion on this. Panthers were down 3-1 to Boston. They win Game 5 against the Bruins, kind of get this ball rolling. When did you think this team during this whole run, when did you think this team was going to make it to the Stanley Cup Final?
Well, I think when Kachuk scored in Game 5 in overtime and how the Panthers played in that Game 5, down 3-1 in Boston, everybody was writing them off. But the way they competed, and that's when Sergei Bobrovsky started to get into that groove. And I'll say it again, You could see signs in that game, and then Kachuk wins it in overtime, and he announces to the whole team in the locker room that everybody get used to this because we're coming back for Game 7. I think that was really, guys, the launching point where they knew that they could compete against the best team in the league. They believed in themselves, the way that they were playing, the system that they were playing, the aggression that they were playing. And of course, Sergei Bobrovsky, the stops that he was making, that to me was really the galvanizing point where this team could really feel good about themselves.
And Randy, in mentioning Matthew Tkachuk and everything he's been able to do here, he's obviously been right in the middle of everything the Panthers have been able to accomplish here during this playoff run. Do you see a sort of a clutch gene about him that kind of reverberates throughout the entire team? Because it seems like you look at him and he's never going to shy away from the moment. And it seems like with the rest of the team, there's nothing tentative about the way this group plays, whether it's overtime, up a goal, down a goal, close games, what have you. Seems like you look at Matthew Tkachuk, he's that way, but you look at the whole group, they're that way too. There's nobody shying away from the moment.
No, he has really characterized what this team is all about, and he's done it all season long, and the way he plays with that swagger and that confidence. You watch him on a shift to shift, and obviously he's not going to score or set up a goal every shift. But he seems to be calculating when he's on the ice. He plays what the situation is, when it is during the game, what the situation, are they up a goal? Are they down a goal? Is it even? Is it early in the first to really establish a physical style, get underneath maybe a couple of face washes with the opposition, get them off their game? And then the way that he moves around the ice, he's not the fastest skater, but he's so smart, and he uses that big frame to protect the puck when he has possession and to set up teammates and the right times to go to the front of the net or to go behind the net to anticipate a reverse pass around where they're cycling the puck. It really amazes me how he plays in that moment of when his team is going to need him the most. And he has delivered all season, all playoffs long. And you just hope as a Panther fan that he's going to be able to continue. There's no reason why he won't to be so effective shift in and shift out.
Randy Moeller joining us here on our Stanley Cup Final Preview Show. Randy, Bally Sports Panthers analyst. And during this run, Randy, what to you is the most impressive thing you've seen? Is it the overtime wins? Is it the 8 straight road wins? What is it that has impressed you most about this team during this run?
A tough question to answer there, K-Raj, but I'll try my best. Two things. Their ability, the team's ability to win close, low-scoring games, which they really struggled with going through the regular season. And number two, the superstardom and the way that Sergei Bobrovsky is playing. I think those two things, be able to manage games with those low-scoring and not get out of their sync, get out of their formation, out of their strategy of what they want to do. They don't come unraveled. They don't become undisciplined. And what I mean by that is start running around or doing individual things on the ice that will break down their system. They stay within that system. They trust how they're playing. And then they protect the middle of the ice the best they can. And then it just rolls right into my second point. And then Sergei Bobrovsky has just been Vezina trophy back to when he won those two Vezina trophies. He is so strong. I dare to compare him to Vasilevskiy, and as Panther fans and the broadcasters, we all know what Vasilevskiy has done to this franchise over the last few years, and where he just completely shuts the door and gives his team all that confidence. We're seeing a lot of that now, and how the team is playing in front of Bobrovsky, and you just hope that he stays in that moment as well. It's been a long layoff, but he's such a focused, dedicated athlete that he'll be ready both mentally and physically.
Randy, when you look at the way things have gone so far, too, with we've been singing the praises of Alexander Barkov here in the Panther world for years, but when you watch the game, and in mentioning Sergei Bobrovsky, what he's done to help keep pucks out of the net, when you look at what Alexander Barkov's done from a defensive perspective throughout these playoffs, things that may not always show up on the box score, but are you able to articulate just what he has meant from a defensive side of things? You look at what he did shutting down the Matthews line and helping keep John Tavares off the board. Again, things that may not always show up on the box score, but Alexander Barkov has been hugely instrumental defensively for this team, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, and, you know, in my last comment to answering the last question, I could have mentioned the Barkov as well, because he's the main reason why the Panthers have been able to win these low-scoring games, these tight, low-scoring, because of how strong he plays both with and without the puck and his defensive positioning. We've gotten used to it. And you hit it on the head, Doug, about a lot of times, and early on in the playoffs, there was a few, you know, I mean, obviously social media is a big part of the fans now. And, you know, where's Barkov? Well, even though Barkov isn't scoring, and that his responsibilities, as you mentioned, to shut down the high-scoring centermen, and that you need that big, strong centerman up the middle and on the right side of the puck. And not only him, but Barkov, and I don't want to shy away from him. I mean, he's been phenomenal. But the way the Panthers bent it, so heavy, strong, physical. Lundell has upped his game. And then you got the veteran, Eric Staal, that has been counted on to play extra minutes because of some injuries and some different situations. He's been there. He's been through these wars in the playoffs. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's gone deep in the playoffs as well. And his experience in the faceoff circle and killing penalties and helping shut down the other offensive stars has been very noticeable as well. So Barkov is leading that team, but he's got a lot of support behind him to make sure and to help him reach new levels with his play.
Randy, what about Paul Maurice? That he comes in this season a bit of a slow start to the year, and we saw the team, you know, they turn it around late, they get in the playoffs, and what they've done so far. What have you seen with Paul Maurice as far as the guys, how long it took to kind of buy into what his system is, buy what he's selling to the team, and now putting it all together to get to this point?
Yeah, it's been really remarkable because and Doug and I are together almost every day with this team and on the road and at home and that. And Doug will tell you, there was a few times during the season, more than a few times, where we were looking at each other after games or morning skates going, oh boy, is this team ever going to come around? How long did they go without winning two straight or more than two straight to really get themselves back in the playoff spot? It took them towards the end of the year. When they went on that 6-1-1 run towards the end of the year to give themselves a chance to qualify for the postseason, that's when I think Paul Maurice's preachings of how the team has to play really started to ingrain in this team. And, you know, Paul Maurice, I think he took a lot of criticism, and there was a lot of fans and that were not happy the way the team was playing, but he kept saying, and he was very methodical and saying, it's going to come. This is how we have to play. It doesn't look pretty some games, but it's a system that they have to play in order to have success in the playoffs. He kept talking about the playoffs. Well, the Panthers lose at home against the Rangers on January 1st. Correct me if I'm wrong. The Panthers were, what, 8 or 9 games out of a wild card spot. So it's tough to follow that Pied Piper too many times. But you could always tell that there's enough talent on this team, and they went through that horrific schedule for a couple months where all the travel, and like every team, the injuries, the inconsistent play, the goaltending carousel that was going on. Oh, boy, there was all kinds of stuff that was that was on the negative side. But he still had the belief. And then with Bill Zito not making a move at the trade deadline and then coming out publicly and saying that we believe in this team, we're going to back this team, we like what's going on in that locker room, we love the way this the coaching staff led by Paul Maurice is getting this team prepared to win consistently. You got to tip your hat to that, because there could have been a few times where this team could have unraveled and it really could have gotten ugly. But he kept them together, the leadership led by him, and good on him, because it is showing what kind of a coach he is.
And Randy, now as we look ahead to this matchup, we know who the opponent's going to be. You've got the Panthers and the Vegas Golden Knights. You've got two seasoned veteran coaches who've been to the final before. You've got two deep groups of forwards, and the coaches are probably going to use all four lines throughout the series. You've got groups of defensemen that like to move the puck, two teams that like to forecheck. A little difference maybe in the goaltending matchup when you've got a two-time Vezina Trophy winner on one side, and on the other side, a guy who's playing great for his team but really just took over the starting job in round two. When you look at this matchup, here a day later after we find out what the matchup exactly is going to be, what stands out in a Panthers-Vegas matchup?
Doug, it's, I think, very similar teams. And that might be the lazy answer, but over the last couple days, I'm looking at this Vegas team and the strengths that they have. Very similar to the way the Panthers are. They can play high scoring. They've got Jack Eichel has proven that he is now a superstar in the league. Carlson, we all know about Jonathan Marchessault. He's got the hot hand. The Panthers have the same thing on their side with Verhaeghe and Bennett and Duclair scoring big goals, and of course Tkachuk and Barkov and that mobile experience defense, very similar. What it's going to come down to, and it is every series, it's going to come down to goaltending, special teams, and injuries. And I think the Stanley Cup will be decided with those three: goaltending, special teams, and injuries. And you hope that the Panthers are 100% healthy. Hopefully Loisterinen is going to be back in the lineup and healthy and productive. And it looks like Vegas is fairly healthy as well. And I think they came out of that series against Dallas pretty good on the injury side as well. So the execution, guys, it all comes down with the goaltending. Who's the better goaltender? Who's got the better special teams? Execution, injuries. That's what it's going to come down to.
Randy Moeller, always a great job with the Panthers on television, Bally Sports, along with Goldie Steve Goldstein. And Randy, we appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you pretty soon. It should be a very exciting Stanley Cup final with the Panthers and the Golden Knights.
Yep, my toes are tingling already, guys, so I can't wait for it to start. And a special thank you, a shout-out thank you to all the fans that have stuck with this team. Now is the time to really enjoy this ride, and hopefully the Panthers will have that Stanley Cup right down Los Olas. It will be a special time for everybody, including me.
All right, that is Randy Moeller. Randy, as always, we appreciate it. And, it's always fun, Doug, to talk to Randy about all this stuff. There's just so many storylines with this Stanley Cup, and I understand you could have that with any championship series, but still, at least, from this local standpoint, there's really just so many things that you could break down with these two teams.
So many different things. And again, between Randy and Goldie on the TV side, and I know I'm excited to work each and every one of these games in the Cup Final alongside Billy Lindsay.
Duclair behind the net.
You guys have known, have been around this franchise for so long, and I know that they are, as excited as anyone to get this thing going and to see the Panthers head into the Stanley Cup Final for the second time. So it's going to be a huge thrill. And again, folks, Game 1 is going to be Saturday at 8 Eastern, 7:30 pregame on the radio network, 7 o'clock on 560 WQAM. We'll get you started with a 7 to 7:30 local extended pregame. So that's coming up on Saturday when we get this thing going. I know that can't get here soon enough. enough, Kevin. We are itching to get this thing started.
Absolutely. And coming up, we will hear from one of the stars of the playoffs, Carter Verhaeghe. Doug Plagan sat down with Carter and looking ahead to this Stanley Cup and the great playoff run that Carter has had for this Panthers team. As the Panthers get set for the Stanley Cup final with the Vegas Golden Knights on Saturday, game one in Las Vegas, you're listening to the Stanley Cup Final Preview Show right here on 560 WQAM.
Time for more of the Celsius Essential Energy Drinks, Florida Panthers Stanley Cup Final Preview Show on the home of the Panthers, AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Into the far circle. Barkov clubbed it away from him. Kachuk on the far boards. He's able to get a clear. One hands it out through the neutral zone. Allows the Panthers to get a change. McAvoy able to dodge some pressure, but he couldn't get by Sam Bennett. McAvoy turns it over. Kachuk in front for Verhaeghe. A shot, and he scores! Carter Verhaeghe able to give the Panthers a 4-2 lead. The Panthers cash in off the turnover. And the Panthers lead by a pair. Carter Verhaeghe set up out in front, and he's able to go top shelf pass Omar.
Stanley Cup Final Preview Show continues here on 560 WQAM. Kevin Rogers and Doug Plagans with you. We'll hear from Carter Verhaeghe coming up in just a few moments. He continues to have a great postseason. Remember what he did last year against Washington in the first round and some big goals, including the Game 7 overtime winner against Boston back in the first round. As the Panthers, they will face the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Final. Saturday night, Game 1 from T-Mobile Arena out in Las Vegas, and that's when the Stanley Cup Final will begin, Doug.
Yeah, 8 o'clock Eastern on Saturday. Panthers fans, time to hunt. Schedules, ticketing, watch parties, merch, and more info. FloridaPanthers.com/PlayoffCentral. That's where to go for all your 2023 Panthers playoff information. The Panthers 2023 playoffs are presented by our friends at City Furniture. Lots coming up here on the program. We've still got another hour to go after this one. NHL.com's Mike Zeisberger will stop by. We've also got lots of sound to get to from media availabilities over the last couple of days coming up here in just a few moments. But I did have a chance to catch up with Panthers forward Carter Verhaeghe yesterday. We sat down, had a good chat about the playoffs, everything that's gone into it. And, well, the first thing I said to Carter Verhaeghe, I looked at him, I said, Florida Panthers, Eastern Conference champions. I know the job's not done, but that's got a pretty good ring to it. Here's Carter Verhaeghe.
Yeah, it feels good. I mean, to win three series against three really good teams, it feels really good. And I mean, people thought we couldn't do it. I mean, there's a lot of belief in this room, and it feels good to kind of get that kind of job done. So,
how much have you guys embraced that kind of underdog mentality and going into some tough road environments along the way as well? It seems like you guys have really embraced that.
Yeah, I think it's fun. Anytime you go out on the road and everyone's hating on you, kind of, and saying you suck and all that. And it's a lot of fun, I think. I think we all kind of like it. And being kind of the villain, I think we have a couple of villains on our team, too, that really enjoy playing that role. So, I mean, yeah, it's fun going into the hostile environment.
It's cool that you mentioned the villain idea, because I think you guys also have a lot of reasons why you're a very likable team at the same time. And I guess just going back, you guys got your playoff spot secured in the final days of the regular season. It's been well documented. You guys have talked about the fact that you were essentially playing playoff hockey really from the All-Star break on. It sounds simple, but how much did that kind of build into the DNA of this team and get you ready here for what you've done now over the last over the last month or so?
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, yeah, we didn't know if we were going to make it, and we were pushing really hard. And I mean, it kind of made us realize that this is kind of the same kind of mentality where forget about the game in the past. All you can control is the present kind of thing and the next game and trying one game at a time kind of thing. And no matter what happens, just keep on grinding kind of thing. And yeah, we've been doing that for a while. And I mean, it kind of carried over. So
Carter Verhaeghe here with us. And Carter, you had a great regular season, and obviously coming into the playoffs, just you can tell based on, you know, the Boston series, and you dove right in. You had that big goal in Game 7, but your confidence level coming off a 40 goal season this year had to be feeling pretty good coming into the playoffs from your own perspective, right?
Yeah, I think anytime, I mean, yeah, it's an accomplishment for me. And I think, coming to the playoffs, you're just trying to kind of do anything to help the team win. And whether it's scoring goals or playing good defense or working hard on the forecheck or whatever it takes kind of thing. And I think when playoffs come, it's all not that it isn't team first before, because it is, but it's more anything you got to do to have an impact kind of thing. And it's not just scoring kind of thing in the playoffs. And I think everyone's kind of really bought into that kind of mentality. And I think, if we have to win a game 1-0 or whatever it takes, you know.
And you mentioned that idea, all the little things that can build up, and the game being a process. And it seems like you obviously, coming from Tampa Bay, you saw what it was like to win there, and a lot of those veteran guys, seems like that was something that they built up over the years. How much were you able to take from that experience there, seeing what those guys did, bringing it here?
Yeah, I mean, those guys, they played a lot of playoff hockey for a while, and I mean, I was lucky to be there when finally broke through and won. But yeah, for sure, you take lessons from all the guys, and they kind of had to learn and change the way they play, kind of like us. And I think you could see total buy-in from all the different players, and kind of, I think that's kind of what it takes, a total team effort and total buy-in, everyone pulling the same rope, everyone on the same page, and that's what it was there, and it feels like that's kind of what it is here too.
A couple things I want to get to as far as the way you guys clinched each of the series leading up to this point, but we'll start with the most recent one, to get that game 4 win against Carolina and do it on home ice, because the last two series before that you clinched on the road, so you did it in front of buildings that you turned silent, full buildings where the people couldn't believe what they had just seen.
Yeah.
This one you were able to share with your home fans. What did it mean to clinch the Eastern Conference title on home ice?
Yeah, I think we would have took it either way. I mean, the fans are huge. Like, I never heard the building so loud, and I mean, it shows what kind of great hockey fans that are here in South Florida. And I think, either way, whatever it takes, I think we're built for anything, not just playing on home ice, playing on the road too. And I think we're just looking to win 4 more games. That's it. So,
and when you guys look at the way, when those games ended, obviously, first round, you guys clinched it. You had the overtime winner in game 7. Game 5 in Toronto, Nick Cousins scores the overtime winner. The goal Matthew Tkachuk scored in that last game against Carolina may as well have been an overtime winner because of how little time was left on the clock. When a goal like that scored that basically decides the outcome, whether you scored it or whether one of your teammates scored it, what's that feeling like when the puck goes in the net and you know that, okay, this thing's over, and it's not just the game, it's the series?
Relief, I think. Mostly relief, and I think there's so much... put so much pressure on yourself. Not like crazy, but I mean, everything's up in the air kind of thing. There's still like, they're competing for to win the series, and we are, and I think it could go either way kind of thing. Like, say you don't score that goal or something happens, it could flip the series or something like that. So I think the biggest thing is just relief and just happy, I think. Yeah.
And with how tight these games have been, I mean, that's just a product of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Everybody's good. It's hard to just get into the playoffs. So once you get there, everybody's dangerous. Everybody's got elite skill, good goaltending across the board. When the games are as close as they are night to night, what's the biggest, I guess, the biggest thing you have to keep in the mindset in terms of just staying in that moment? Because it seems like you guys have a whole group of guys that where nobody shies away from the moment.
Yeah.
Nobody's tentative. Everybody's going out there playing the game, knowing how much pressure there is, but it seems like you guys are embracing that idea.
Yeah, I think it's more just... I don't know, to be honest.
Like, nobody's afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that's kind of our mindset. We want to play the same way no matter what the score is and anything. But, yeah, you're right. It seems like anytime there's a big moment or overtime, we kind of control the play. And I think, it's kind of more of an attacking mentality. And we worked all year to get to this point. And what's the point of being nervous? And might as well kind of enjoy the moment and go out there and try and win the thing instead of playing tentative or something like that. I think that's probably the biggest thing. Like, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
What was that? You talk about big moments. What was that marathon overtime game one? Now that that's in the past, you guys got the win, and the series is over, you won the series. You can look back at that one. I'm sure in the moment, did it feel like this thing's going on forever? What was that like to go through that now that it's, you know, now that it's happened?
Yeah, I mean, that was a crazy game. Once I think the third overtime hit, I think you could see a lot of fatigue. And I mean, even when guys were getting chances, it was, you weren't like that focused to even bury them, you know what I mean? And I think that a little mental fatigue and everything, but to get the win in that game is absolutely huge for that series. I mean, it could have gone either way. They had good chances too, and obviously Bob stood on his head. I honestly can't imagine what it's like for a goaltender in those overtime games to just one mistake or whatever and the game's over. You got to be so mentally focused, and that says a lot about Bob. But yeah, I mean, it was a crazy game, and happy it's over with, and hopefully you don't have to do that again.
Carter Verhaeghe here with us. Two more quick ones before we let you get going. And goaltenders and officials, no line changes for those guys. So a physically taxing night for them. But you mentioned Sergei Bobrovsky, yeah. And you can see how confident your team is every single night. How much of that stems from not just the saves that he's making, but how calm he is back there in the net while he's turning in some of the performances he's put in lately?
Yeah, I mean, he's been unbelievable. Obviously, every single series he's kept us in the games. I mean, makes timely saves, and in overtime he's huge. And I mean, you can't say enough about this guy. He comes to rink every day, works hard, and then that's it, like, goes home, and he's always in the moment. And it seems like it doesn't matter what's going on around him, he's working on his game and what he needs to do, where, like, it's easy to get caught up in things like that. And I think that's kind of been our whole team as well. We're kind of just playing in the moment and just not worrying about the consequences or whatever it would be if things didn't go well or whatever. I'm just kind of just playing.
You know? And off of that, last thing here, Paul Maurice, he said after that last game to the effect of, you know, enjoy this. These are, you know, these could be the best few weeks of everyone's life here. How much do you guys just embrace that every day, that idea of coming to the rink every day, knowing that this is something to enjoy and this is a special experience with a special group of guys here?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know how often it happens. I mean, I'm sure a lot of guys here, maybe even Ecky and Barkley, have been here for, I don't know, 10 years or maybe longer. I don't even know. And they've never been this far even. I mean, it's really special. And to be here and to have a group like this, and the NHL, nothing ever stays the same kind of thing, so it's always a different group. But I mean, it's just kind of embracing it, and it's really special for sure.
So Carter Verhaeghe right there, Panthers forward, and as I've always said, just one of those guys. I would equate him, Kevin, to like the guy in basketball who you want to have the ball in his hands. And the Panthers, fortunately, they have a number of guys like this, but he's one of those guys, like the guy in basketball, you want him to have the ball in his hands in the last seconds when the team needs a bucket, because it just seems like Carter Verhaeghe has that knack for coming up with one when you need one. And a lot of his teammates do too, the way that guys like Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Reinhart, guys like that, have responded throughout this playoff run. Kevin, we've got lots to go coming up here in hour number two as well.
Absolutely. We still are going to hear from more Panthers. We'll hear from Sam Bennett, Radko Gudas, also head coach Paul Maurice. All of that is straight ahead as we continue to look ahead to the Stanley Cup Final coming up starting Saturday in Las Vegas, Nevada, between the Panthers and the Golden Knights. Kevin Rogers and Doug Plagans with you. We continue the Stanley Cup Final preview show right here on 560 WQAM.
Time for more of the Celsius Essential Energy Drinks, Florida Panthers Stanley Cup Final Preview Show on the home of the Panthers, AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Into the far circle. Barkov clubbed it away from him. Tkachuk on the far boards. He's able to get it clear. One hands it out through the neutral zone, allows the Panthers to get a change. McAvoy able to dodge some pressure, but he couldn't get by Sam Bennett. McAvoy turns it over. Tkachuk in front for Verhaeghe. A shot, and he scores! Carter Verhaeghe able to give the Panthers a 4-2 lead. The Panthers cash in off the turnover, and the Panthers lead by a pair. Carter Verhaeghe set up out in front, and he's able to go top shelf past Ullmark.
Stanley Cup Final Preview Show continues here on 560 WQAM. Kevin Rogers and Doug Plagans with you. We'll hear from Carter Verhaeghe coming up in just a few moments. He continues to have a great postseason. Remember what he did last year against Washington in the first round? They had some big goals, including the Game 7 overtime winner against Boston back in the first round. As the Panthers, they will face the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Final. Saturday night, Game 1 from T-Mobile Arena out in Las Vegas, and that's when the Stanley Cup Final will begin, Doug.
Yeah, 8 o'clock Eastern on Saturday. Panthers fans, time to hunt. Schedules, ticketing, watch parties, merch, and more info. FloridaPanthers.com/PlayoffCentral. That's where to go for all your 2023 Panthers playoff information. The Panthers 2023 playoffs are presented by our friends at City Furniture. Lots coming up here on the program. We've still got another hour to go after this one. NHL.com's Mike Zeisberger will stop by. We've also got lots of sound to get to from media availabilities over the last couple of days coming up here in just a few moments. But I did have a chance to catch up with Panthers forward Carter Verhaeghe yesterday. We sat down, had a good chat about the playoffs, everything that's gone into it. And, well, the first thing I said to Carter Verhaeghe, I looked at him, I said, Florida Panthers, Eastern Conference champions. I know the job's not done, but that's got a pretty good ring to it. Here's Carter Verhaeghe.
Yeah, it feels good. I mean, to win three series against three really good teams, it feels really good. And I mean, people thought we couldn't do it. I mean, there's a lot of belief in this room, and it feels good to kind of get that kind of job done. So,
how much have you guys embraced that kind of underdog mentality and going into some tough road environments along the way as well? It seems like you guys have really embraced that.
Yeah, I think it's fun. Anytime you go out on the road and everyone's hating on you, kind of, and saying you suck and all that. And it's a lot of fun, I think. I think we all kind of like it. And being kind of the villain, I think we have a couple of villains on our team, too, that really enjoy playing that role. So, I mean, yeah, it's fun going into the hostile environment. Okay, for sure.
It's cool that you mentioned the villain idea, because I think you guys also have a lot of reasons why you're a very likable team at the same time. And I guess just going back, you guys got your playoff spot secured in the final days of the regular season. It's been well documented. You guys have talked about the fact that you were essentially playing playoff hockey really from the All-Star break on. It sounds simple, but how much did that kind of build into the DNA of this team and get you ready here for what you've done now over the last over the last month or so?
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, yeah, we didn't know if we were going to make it, and we were pushing really hard. And I mean, it kind of made us realize that this is kind of the same kind of mentality where forget about the game in the past. All you can control is the present kind of thing and the next game and trying one game at a time kind of thing. And no matter what happens, just keep on grinding kind of thing. And yeah, we've been doing that for a while. And I mean, it kind of carried over. So
Carter Verhaeghe here with us. And Carter, you had a great regular season, and obviously coming into the playoffs, just you can tell based on, you know, the Boston series, and you dove right in. You had that big goal in Game 7, but your confidence level coming off a 40 goal season this year had to be feeling pretty good coming into the playoffs from your own perspective, right?
Yeah, I think anytime, I mean, yeah, it's an accomplishment for me. And I think, coming to the playoffs, you're just trying to kind of do anything to help the team win. And whether it's scoring goals or playing good defense or working hard on the forecheck or whatever it takes kind of thing. And I think when playoffs come, it's all, not that it isn't team first before, because it is, but it's more anything you got to do to have an impact kind of thing. And it's not just scoring kind of thing in the playoffs, and I think everyone's kind of really bought into that kind of mentality. And I think if we have to win a game 1-0 or whatever it takes, you know.
And you mentioned that idea, all the little things that can build up, and the game being a process. And it seems like you obviously, coming from Tampa Bay, you saw what it was like to win there, and a lot of those veteran guys, seems like that was something that they built up over the years. How much were you able to take from that experience there, seeing what those guys did, bringing it here?
Yeah, I mean, those guys, they played a lot of playoff hockey for a while, and I mean, I was lucky to be there when finally broke through and won. But yeah, for sure, you take lessons from all the guys, and they kind of had to learn and change the way they play, kind of like us. And I think you could see total buy-in from all the different players, and kind of, I think that's kind of what it takes, a total team effort and total buy-in, everyone pulling the same rope, everyone on the same page, and that's what it was there, and it feels like that's kind of what it is here too.
A couple things I want to get to as far as the way you guys clinched each of the series leading up to this point, but we'll start with the most recent one, to get that game four win against Carolina and do it on home ice, because the last two series before that you clinched on the road, so you did it in front of buildings that you turned silent, full buildings where the people couldn't believe what they had just seen.
Yeah.
This one you were able to share with your home fans. What did it mean to clinch the Eastern Conference title on home ice?
Yeah, I think we would have took it either way. I mean, the fans are huge. Like, I never heard the building so loud, and I mean, it shows what kind of great hockey fans that are here in South Florida, and I think either way, whatever it takes, I think we're built for anything, not just playing on home ice, playing on the road too, and I think we're just looking to win four more games, that's it. So,
and when you guys look at the way, when those games ended, obviously first round you guys clinched it, you had the overtime winner in game seven. Game five in Toronto, Nick Cousins scores the overtime winner. The goal Matthew Tkachuk scored in that last game against Carolina may as well have been an overtime winner because of how little time was left on the clock. When a goal like that scored that basically decides the outcome, whether you scored it or whether one of your teammates scored it, what's that feeling like when the puck goes in the net and you know that, okay, this thing's over, and it's not just the game, it's the series?
Relief, I think. Mostly relief, and I think there's so much... put so much pressure on yourself. Not like crazy, but I mean, everything's up in the air kind of thing. They're still like, they're competing for to win the series, and we are, and I think it could go either way kind of thing. Like, say you don't score that goal or something happens, it could flip the series or something like that. So I think the biggest thing is just relief and just happy, I think. Yeah.
And with how tight these games have been, I mean, that's just a product of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Everybody's good. It's hard to just get into the playoffs. So once you get there, everybody's dangerous. Everybody's got elite skill, good goaltending across the board. When the games are as close as they are night to night, what's the biggest, I guess, the biggest thing you have to keep in the mindset in terms of just staying in that moment? Because it seems like you guys have a whole group of guys that where nobody shies away from the moment.
Yeah.
Nobody's tentative. Everybody's going out there playing the game, knowing how much pressure there is, but it seems like you guys are embracing that idea.
Yeah, I think it's more just... I don't know, to be honest.
Like, nobody's afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that's kind of our mindset. We want to play the same way no matter what the score is and anything. But, yeah, you're right. It seems like anytime there's a big moment or overtime, we kind of control the play. And I think, it's kind of more of an attacking mentality. And we worked all year to get to this point. And what's the point of being nervous? And might as well kind of enjoy the moment and go out there and try and win the thing instead of playing tentative or something like that. I think that's probably the biggest thing. Like, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
What was that? You talk about big moments. What was that marathon overtime game one? Now that that's in the past, you guys got the win, and the series is over, you won the series. You can look back at that one. I'm sure in the moment, did it feel like this thing's going on forever? What was that like to go through that now that it's, you know, now that it's happened?
Yeah, I mean, that was a crazy game. Once I think the third overtime hit, I think you could see a lot of fatigue, and I mean, even when guys were getting chances, you weren't like that focused to even bury them, you know what I mean? And I think that a little mental fatigue and everything, but to get the win in that game is absolutely huge for that series. I mean, it could have gone either way. They had good chances too, and obviously Bob stood on his head. I honestly can't imagine what it's like for a goaltender in those overtime games to just one mistake or whatever, and the game's over. You got to be so mentally focused, and that says a lot about Bob. But yeah, I mean, it was a crazy game, and happy it's over with, and hopefully you don't have to do that again.
Carter Verhaeghe here with us. Two more quick ones before we let you get going. And goaltenders and officials, no line changes for those guys. So a physically taxing night for them. But you mentioned Sergei Bobrovsky, and you can see how confident your team is every single night. How much of that stems from not just the saves that he's making, but how calm he is back there in the net while he's turning in some of the performances he's put in lately?
Yeah, I mean, he's been unbelievable. Obviously, every single series he's kept us in the games. I mean, makes timely saves, and overtime he's huge. And I mean, you can't say enough about this guy. He comes to rink every day, works hard, and then that's it, like, goes home. And he's always in the moment, and it seems like it doesn't matter what's going on around him. He's working on his game and what he needs to do, where, like, it's easy to get caught up in things like that. And I think that's kind of been our whole team as well. We're kind of just playing in the moment and just not worrying about the consequences or whatever it would be if things didn't go well or whatever. I'm just kind of just playing.
You know? And off of that last thing here, Paul Maurice, he said after that last game to the effect of, you know, enjoy this. These are, you know, these could be the best few weeks of everyone's life here. How much do you guys just embrace that every day, that idea of coming to the rink every day, knowing that this is something to enjoy and this is a special experience with a special group of guys here?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, I don't know how often it happens. I mean, I'm sure a lot of guys here, maybe even Eki and Barkley, have been here for, I don't know, 10 years or maybe longer. I don't even know. And they've never been this far even. I mean, it's really special and to be here and to have a group like this. And the NHL, nothing ever stays the same kind of thing. So it's always a different group. But, I mean, yeah, it's just kind of embracing it. And it's really special for sure.
So Carter Verhaeghe right there, Panthers forward, and as I've always said, just one of those guys. I would equate him, Kevin, to like the guy in basketball who you want to have the ball in his hands. And the Panthers, fortunately, they have a number of guys like this, but he's one of those guys like the guy in basketball. You want him to have the ball in his hands in the last seconds when the team needs a bucket, because it just seems like Carter Verhaeghe has that knack for coming up with one when you need one, and a lot of his teammates do too, the way that guys like Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Reinhart, guys like that, have responded throughout this playoff run. Kevin, we've got lots to go coming up here in hour number two as well.
Absolutely. We still are going to hear from more Panthers. We'll hear from Sam Bennett, Radko Gudas, also head coach Paul Maurice. All of that is straight ahead as we continue to look ahead to the Stanley Cup Final coming up starting Saturday in Las Vegas, Nevada, between the Panthers and the Golden Knights. Kevin Rogers and Doug Plagans with you. We continue the Stanley Cup Final preview show right here on 560 WQAM.